I am joined in studio, a bit of a change of topics here, by Kathy Capellas McLeod. G'day, Kathy.
G'day, Will.
It doesn't make much sense that I'm not very good with names on radio, but I think, did I nail it?
Spot on.
Very
Absolutely
good.
Spot on.
So, Kathy, you're a dog behaviour expert.
I am.
What does that involve? Tell me a bit about what you do.
Yeah, sure. So I specifically work on behaviour issues rather than dog training. So I don't concentrate so much on teaching basic, you know, sit commands and drop and come and stay, etc. So lots of great training around Perth who can do that. I concentrate more on dogs that have got issues around the house or in public, so dogs that are aggressive or reactive to other dogs, reactivity to other people as well, dogs that react to their own humans inside the household, thunder phobias, separation anxiety, and anxieties in general. So there's a big array.
You may have just described both of my dogs to a T. I think you may need to come over to my house after we have a chat here. So if you'd like to ask Kathy a question, if you have maybe some behavioural issues with your best friend, your dog, give us a call, 133-882. It's likely Kathy might have a solution for you. What sort of things you're able to put in place for families? Because if there's people out there like me, your dogs become a part of your family, that you treat them like your children. Well, we certainly do. They sleep on my bed. They are involved in our family function. What sort of things can you do, especially in the home, for people with misbehaving dogs?
Yeah. Look, setting boundaries sometimes, and just on what you said too, Will, we also have our dogs on the bed too. So I don't want people to just start chucking their dogs off the bed just because we set boundaries. The only times when we need to do that is when there's issues on the bed and the spouse can't get on the bed because the dog's guarding the bed whoever's on there.
Well, what about it space-wise, if they're kicking the husband off the bed, i.e. me?
Well, this is the thing, and that's where it's not the bed that it creates the problem or the couches. It's actually the attitude of the dog. And it doesn't take that long for some dogs to get a bit of an inkling. They almost have a romance with a particular member of the family, and they claim them as their own. And then you do get some of this guardian issues coming on, and we think, no, we have to sort of set some leadership here. So the main thing is just to, and when I talk about leadership, you do it with respect. You know, you set the boundaries, but you don't do it in a rough way because, like you said, they're a huge part of your family, you know.
Yeah.
You count them as the members of your family. And also, too, if you do get rough-handed with them, which isn't the right way to go, aggression begets aggression. So some dogs will actually take that on board and think, well, hang on, you know, you're getting angry with me and I'm already a bit sparky, so I might get angry back. And that's what we do want to avoid. So it's about having a nice monotone manner in your voice when you do talk to them. Sound like you're in control, because that does matter. Like, we watch them, which is a really good thing to do, because you watch for their behaviours going to somewhere where they shouldn't, in case they get up to mischief. You can interrupt them nice and quickly. And they watch us as well. So if we walk with confidence and if we sound confident and interrupt their behaviours before they get up to mischief, you spend more time telling them that they're good in a nice, calm way again. We don't want to mollycoddle them all the time when, you know, they're behaving well. But certainly acknowledgement as a minimum with your voice is a good head start.
We are speaking with Kathy Capellas McLeod. She's a dog behaviour expert. Kathy's Dog Training and Behaviour Consulting is her company, and she's here to answer your calls, your questions about misbehaving dogs or dogs that aren't quite getting it in the home or in other areas. 133-882. Do you have a question for Kathy? Give us a call, or you can text in your questions, 0487-999-882. Kathy, puppies. Is that where people should be? I know you don't, do the discipline, training,
yeah.
But is that where people should be putting in place, I guess, what you're preaching to manage behaviour, or is it something that happens later in life? How does it work?
Yeah, oh, I love that. Earlier the better, Will. So, yeah, certainly now. And I have been inundated with calls from people who have gotten puppies for Christmas, but this happens every year, and that's great. So the first things I recommend to them is to either join up with a puppy preschool class through their vet clinic or, you know, organisations that do run them, and start early. And I know sometimes, you know, these organisations get booked out and that's a very busy period of time, but you can always do a lot of little things at home, you know, with the, you know, teaching them just the basic commands, you know, know, and it's okay to say little ucks or interrupters like that, you know, if they look like they're going somewhere where they shouldn't. But if we do it too much, then we have to sort of think, how can we tell in the dog off too much? Maybe we're not identifying how good it actually is for doing nothing. So one of my favourite sayings is tell your dog that they're good for nothing, where if they're actually just being idle and you can see that, wouldn't I normally actually, you know, grab my shoelace, and they're not, you calmly tell them that they're a good dog. So just those sorts of things.
I have a personal question before we get to the calls. There's some calls coming in. If you'd like to speak to Kathy about your dog, 1-3-3-8-82 is the number. My personal situation, if that's okay, Kathy, I'm going to go first. Do you see dogs that with your family? So we've got two young children, my wife and myself, are just the most beautiful, well-behaved, non-aggressive dogs, but then can show aggression to maybe anyone else who walks in the house or anyone they've have never met before. So there's, again, I'm using my own example here. There's family members that'll be over all the time, and as soon as they know who it is, they're back to normal, I would say. But if it's someone they don't recognise, they can be close to aggressive signs.
Yeah, and it's more normal than you think. It's just something that a lot of people don't want to talk about because we might feel embarrassed that, and people will judge our dogs because you can't, and it's not fair to label the dogs as aggressive because, like you said, they're beautiful, perfect with your family and familiar, you know, members that come to your household. But they can put on, you know, a bit of a guard dog attitude when unfamiliar people come. So we need to remove them from that role, and we have to look at why our dog's doing these things. And often it's because it's a combination of genetics too, and it's always nice to know the breeds of dogs and whether, look, some dogs aren't even guard dog qualities. You know, you might get a little muffin and you think, my God, where did you get that little, you know, attitude from? So they haven't even got guard dog in their breed predisposition. But you've got some characters that are a little bit more, you know, feel that they take on this important role of it's my job to fend off anybody that comes to the door. And we're going, no, it's not, because you might just muck up with your behaviours. So, and depending too, if the receiving person gets quite scared, and if a lot of these dogs are doing it because they're also a bit worried and anxious about it, then it's that, again, that aggression begets aggression. The person acts scared, and then that scares the dog more, and they might react more. So that's where we remove them from the role and go, okay, so we know they're not good at the front door with unfamiliar people, and because they're, you know, lovely-looking breeds, people are going to probably, you know, do the thing that we do with people where we shake hands and say good day, which is not what they want, and that will create more of havoc. So sometimes it's just good to say, guess what, we know you're going to do this, but you're going to calm down soon after we've also told the visitors, just don't look at them for now, don't talk to them initially, and especially don't touch them until they come around. Safely, of course, you know, and we can do that with food or without food. It will vary. You'll find your two dogs will act individually. So
we've gone to putting them in the bedroom when people enter, and then kind of doing what you say, that we let them out after half an hour, and they're usually pretty good. So good advice there, Kathy. We've got some calls to get to. If you'd like to speak to Kathy, 1-3-3-8-82. Diane has phoned in. G'day, Diane.
Oh, hi there, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. You got a question for Kathy?
Yeah. Yes, Kathy. I've got a dog, of course, and he's very good at home. He's about 7. We got him from a shelter. We've had him for about three and a half years. Yeah. He was pretty good at first when we got him. He's always been good at home. But when I take him out walking, we had a big park over the road, so I could take him every day. And he started to not like it when dogs ran up to him sort of from behind. He was on a lead. And if they sort of started sniffing him and that, he would retaliate, you know, turn around and want to fight with them straight away. And I wondered if you know, that is because he's trying to protect me, or what would that be? He gets on with dogs that come to our house. You know, people bring their dogs here and he's fine. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think your dog's got every right to be a little bit miffed with dogs coming up to him at high speeds and sniffing his rear end if he's not really ready for that. So that explains why he's so good with the majority of the dogs, you know, all of them that come to your home, and possibly even others that he might meet on lead face to face. But I don't think he's too keen on these very quick approaches. I know that the other dog just wants to say hi, but folks, you've got to really be respectful of other people's dogs, especially if you see them on lead. They are on lead for a reason, so don't let your dog just run up, because there might be a reactivity issue, just like with Diane. You know, you need that little bit of space. So I think he's a good boy, but what he's saying is keep away from me. So it might be more of a presentation that he doesn't like the dog surprising him, and not all dogs care for their rear end to be sniffed. So it might be more him looking out for himself than yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. All right.
So
yeah,
we just need to. You just need to keep a close eye, Diane. Watch for any dog zoom in from the distance, and maybe even turn your dog around so that he can see and tell him he's a good boy at least. And maybe just step out in front of your dog so that you can slow the pace down of the approaching dog a wee bit more. And maybe he might not be too. Maybe he might not be too concerned with that presentation rather than the quick ones from behind.
Yeah, all right, darling. Thank you for your help, Kathy.
Absolute pleasure, Diane. Thank you.
I'll just gotta go because it restricts us a lot where we go and that type of thing. You know, like I can't just take him to that park anymore, it seems. And I have, you know, I've tried the beach, but other dogs run up to him and, yeah, and it's always the same. So
good luck, Diane. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll work on that.
Very good. Great call. Thank you, Diane. We do have some more calls to get to. We're going to take a quick break and we'll take your calls after this with Kathy Capellas-McLeod, dog behaviour expert. Very happy with myself. I'm getting that right. Kathy's dog training and behaviour consulting. Give us a call, 133-882.
On 882 6PR, this is Summer Afternoons.
Chatting with Cappy. I was always going to get that. Kathy Capellas-McLeod, she's a dog behaviour expert, doing very good stuff in here. If you'd like to talk to Kathy about your issues with your dog, got behaviour issues, give her a call, 133-882, straight to the phones, I think. Kathy, g'day, Kelly.
Hi, how are you going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
No worries.
Kathy, you actually came out years ago when I had an Airedale Terrier and helped me with him. I'm now up to my fourth Airedale.
Oh, wow.
And he's proven to be my wild child. He won't let any of us touch his paws, so we can't get prickles out, we can't do anything like that. So he's 2.5 and he's been under sedation about 4 or 5 times to get prickles out.
Oh, gosh.
And I know, it sort of gets to that point where you think, well, this can't keep going on. He never used to like me touching his ears, but he's gotten better with that, so I can do that now. But I'm just wondering if you've got any advice on...
Yeah.
What to do, because every time I have to take him to the vet and he has to go under sedation, he gets prickles taken out, toenails clipped, you know, fur removed, all that sort of thing. So.
And Kelly, does he get aggressive or does he just pull away and he's really fearful?
No, he growls. He even growls at us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So just quickly, normally I don't suggest muzzle desensitisation until later, but maybe it might be something that's not a bad idea to get him used to wearing a muzzle, but put it on him before you even touch his pads. Actually, in fact, you know, get him used to it so that there's no pad touching at all. Pop some peanut paste or some cheese spread at the end of it so he loves it. And then...
Okay.
Then I would probably work on maybe if it's a family member helping as well, while he's licking at the cheese spread or the peanut paste or whatever spread it might be, liver pate, whatever floats his boat, just attempt to, you know, you've got to support him a little bit as well. So it is a bit of, look, we're going to do this, mate, because we have to, we can't, it's not healthy for him to be sedated for the rest of his life. But we are going to just slowly attempt to even brush at your paws. So do it with maybe a little, you know, kid's brush, not even a dog grooming, you know, something very soft that's not bristly, so you can get used to that feeling of actually just being brushed around the paws. I'll just do bucket loads of that. But the muzzle's just there so you feel a bit more brave about doing it. If he can see that you're acting confidently, he might settle down more.
Settle more, yep.
Yeah, and he's less worried. And only have short bursts. Don't do a whole half an hour session of him on the muzzle. But certainly first desensitise him to a muzzle. Don't pair it with any touching. When he's used to the muzzle, then start to do some fun things. But make sure that the food's still, and if you do put a muzzle on him, you might need to whack some longer, lengthy cheese bits in there for him because it's hard to get the food in. And he might not take it, but you're welcome to contact me, Kelly, if you need some more support off air, okay?
Yep, I might do that. Okay. Yep, okay.
No worries.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye.
Thank you very much for the call, Kelly. We'll keep moving through, I think. Kathy, g'day, Lorraine.
Oh, hi, Kathy and Will. We have toy poodles and they are much as you described at the start of your segments. They sleep on our beds and they really are quite attached to me. They're entire, so we have a male and 2 females. And I just want to know how I can separate the male when one of the females is in heat and we don't want him breeding with her. We've got a baby gate at the moment and he cries and carries on and I'm just not confident that if I actually have to leave the house that will contain him.
Yeah. And look, it's a huge thing, and I can speak too because I've got entire males and females, and ours recently were in season, and we fortunately can just pop the girls in the boudoir and separate the boys, and they're pretty good, to be honest. But not every dog's the same, right? So
I think, yeah, like during the day they all follow me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So I think just to separate either the girl or the boy, I don't know how I'm going to go about that, and I'm just trying to get prepared in advance.
Yeah, I would actually already start having, I know it's hot weather now, but when it's a little bit more comfortable, just have your boy outside on his own. You know, sometimes have a couple of the girls outside on their own, you know, one at a time here and there, so they all have individual time on their own. Perhaps mm-hmm. don't just back off a little bit on the patting, certainly obviously pat them, but just back off on the love meter a little bit. Using voice a bit more, creating a good safe place outside so that's going to be a place where the boy might be, but at least it's just teaching some short periods on his own, so that when you get to the, knowing though that season is a big thing for the boys, you know, the dogs go burkos, you know, you can lose a dog, you know, if you've got them off leaded in a street, if they follow the scent of a bitch and heat, you've lost them. It's, mm-hmm. it's that strong. So, but certainly starting with just individual, leaving them outside now while there's no bitches in season, that would be a very good head start, so there's no separation anxiety plus, you know, the horny behaviour, because that's basically what all that whiny is. It's very hard. It's the hormones going nuts, and the girls too, but the boys are the ones that are howling, the poor things.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Very good, Lorraine. Keep those boys in order, please. G'day, Maxine.
Hello, how you going, guys?
Good, thanks. You got a question for Kathy?
Yes. I've got my little dog, Shih Tzu Pomeranian, and also my big dog, but he's okay. number one, he thinks that he can pee anywhere he likes, so he goes outside sometimes, but, you know, I've had to keep my bedroom door closed because he likes to pee near my bed. And also he just keeps doing it all around the house.
And he's been doing this for a while, Maxine?
Yes, he has.
Okay, so it's quite well rehearsed, isn't it? This is your weather to now help him out as much as you can, but it does mean that you have to work very hard at it, so that hopefully his latter years that he won't be continuing to pee inside the house. I would make it so that it's errorless training. Therefore, if you're in the house, like say you're talking to me now, you need to know where your dog is. And if you don't, then it could be around the corner peeing. So we have to make sure that he's nowhere around.
Yeah.
Keep a close eye on him. Take him outside frequently. Watch for little signs that it looks like he's going to urinate and interrupt him very quickly. And keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, Max.
Okay, sure.
Be consistent.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Maxine. Great call. We're going to take one last call. I think, Paul, we've got time for one more, mate, if you can keep it sort of brief. G'day, mate. Paul, how are you?
Hi, thanks. I'll keep it very, very brief and cut straight to the chase.
Yep.
I've got a blue heeler collie cross dog. Got him from Shenton Park Refuge. Had him for 8 years. The report from them was he could be very aggressive, may bite, but he was always like a rag doll with me. Beautiful, gentle. I can put medication down his throat when he needs it. A rag doll. 99% of the rest of the people out there, I have to be so cautious, either muzzle him or watch his body language. What makes a dog be so aggressive when he's like a little kitten with the owner? And bear in mind, at a year and a half, he picked me. I didn't pick him.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mind of the dog, what makes a dog click like that? I read his body language, so I make sure I look at his ears, I look at his tail.
Good on you.
But why does he have to be so aggressive?
All right. So all, like us, all behaviours are based on three things. One is the genetics, and if we don't know anything about his genetics or very little, he's gonna get whatever's handed down to a greater or lesser degree from the genetic predisposition, okay? You can't do much about that, nor can your dog. The other thing is, what has he learnt in his years? You know, before you got him, you know, what was his history? Sometimes we don't know that either. So it could be often with the rescue dogs, we don't know much about the history. And then the environment affects them. They can get so cushy, and I believe you too, no judgment here. I know how he can be a pussy cat with yourself and not be too keen on anyone else. He might have another person he likes or not. It could just be you, and he's person-centric. So it's all a combination of genetics and what he's learned and the experiences, and also the environment, Paul.
Okay, look, thanks for that. And he is very, very choosy who he likes, and I just thought, it's a shame. He's such a beautiful dog, and I've got to stop people from coming up trying to cuddle him or pat him and say, no, you can't. And they look at me as if I'm crazy. But I know what he can do, and he goes, he's a silent assassin. He won't growl. He'll just pounce.
And you watch his body language. So well done, Paul.
All right, very good, Paul. Sometimes it's the people and not the animals as well.
Yeah.
Kathy, it's going quickly. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for having me.
How can people find you if they've been listening along and enjoyed what you've been talking about?
So either website www.kathysdogtraining.com.au. That'll do. 9345 5277.
There you go. Like it a lot. Really love that segment. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Will.